We're in lesson 86 in the book of Ephesians, and we're in chapter 6, and we was going over some things last lesson in regards to be strong in the Lord and the power in His might. And in the first section that he's talking about, be strong in who? The Lord. And he's referring to that back in chapters 1, verses 13, 14. That's what we looked at before. In the second statement, be strong in the power of His might. You see, it says, chapter 6, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And this is referring again back to chapter 1, but this time he is referring to verses 19 and following. If you will, hold your finger there and go to Ephesians chapter 1. And starting with verse 18, Paul is praying this, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling. Chapter 1, verses 18 through 21, of His calling, and which is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead, set Him on His own right hand, and where?
Heavenly
places, far above all principalities. Now, there's five different types of synonyms there of those two verses for power. Be strong in the power of His might. And that is the reference of the purpose, purpose and the plan that God has involved in the mystery of His will. Listen, there's nowhere in the Bible that you can find outside of Paul's epistles what Paul is talking about here. Far above principalities' power. What was the structure and the power and the might that the Lord Jesus Christ and God Almighty bestowed on the earth through the nation Israel? It was a kingdom, wasn't it? And all the kingdom and the power, and you know what a king does. We witness that through history books and stuff. And it starts with the king. But it has to do with the purpose and the plan that God has in setting Jesus Christ as the head of all principalities. Verses 21 to 23, far above that, the power of His might has set Christ Jesus at His own right hand, far above. Now, I'm looking at this. Sometimes I'm thinking, okay, you have God Almighty enthroned. Isn't that power? Isn't that a principality? Isn't that far above all? Jesus Christ is in all and all above all and through all. He's above it all now. And that's that power of that resurrection might that we talked about. And all principalities and powers and mights and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is come, and hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is what? His body, the fullness of Him that filleth in all. That power, the power of His might, is referenced to making Jesus Christ the head over the heavenly government. We know what He was in times past. He was going to be their king, wasn't it? They was looking for a king. Okay? In order to have a king, you got to have a what? Kingdom. You know? And that's all. That's who they was looking for. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. You know what it says? And ye are complete in who?
Christ.
Which is head of all principalities and power. And the power of His might is also demonstrated through the message of Paul that God raised Christ and took Him and set Him on the right hand in the heavenly places far above all principalities. Listen, that's why the book of Ephesians is very, very important, and that's why we've been studying it. We're in chapter 6 now, and he said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of might. Like, shouldn't I have been that all the way? All along? Yeah, but now he's emphasizing some things. The battle's starting to wage on the Ephesians. In other words, he has given his position to Christ in order that the church might benefit from it. And you and I, as members of the body of Christ, the church, which is this body in the fullness that fulfilleth all in all, we have a position in who? And also, we're going to have a position in the heavenly places. Some of you probably wish you were there right now. You know, I do. You know, but literally, are you there? We looked at that last lesson.
Literally, no.
No, literally where you're at. You're sitting right here. Spiritually and positionally, you're already there. But the point is that God is going to fill up all positions of principalities and power, might, and dominion, and so forth, with the body of Christ. You see, I don't know if you guys thought about this or not. Everybody, and you know, when you was growing up and part of church and stuff, they always 99% of the time they probably try to make you part of Israel's program, and you're going to be a part of this earth, and you're going to have, you know, you're going to be sweeping the streets of Jerusalem, and you know, and you're going to ride around with Abraham on a white horse coming down, and you know, all that stuff, right? I mean, you probably heard that, but think about this. This is something that totally is opposite of what God is doing on the earth. That's why the mystery program, to make all men see, it's very, very important that you have an impact in the heavenly program. The heavens are not going to be, it's just not going to be the earth, guys. It's the heaven and earth, and they're new and all. But Paul says, be strong in the Lord. He's talking about this being strong in the message of grace. We looked at that. That you have in who? Christ. And he's also talking about being strong in the glory out there that God is going to have and gain, and the purpose that he has for the body of Christ right now. Whether you agree or disagree, whether you feel like it or not, you have a purpose today in the body of Christ. Some of us may, you know, getting old, or some of us don't feel like working, or you still have a purpose in Christ Jesus. And our strength today is not in us, but is in what God has given us and in what God is making us and what God is doing us for eternal glory. When we was younger, a lot of our sights and our focus was on this earth, wasn't it? I've got to have that car. I've got to have that house. I've got to have that, you know. And you're looking, you know, and that's, you would work for that, wouldn't you? I mean, honestly. But you had no idea what your internal purpose was, far above where, heavenly places where you're at. And when you can see that, can't that motivate you? You know, I look at little young Abby back there. She's got Lord willing, you've got a whole life in front of you. I would suggest to take your time. Don't be in a hurry. Everything's will fall right into place as you need them. You know, but at the same time, you're probably thinking, I want this, I want that. One of these days, I want this. You know, and in her mind, she may already says, I want to be a doctor. I want to be a nurse. I want to be a truck driver. Yeah. Now, just looking, just say no. But, you know, in her young mind, she's thinking about that. But how many people that you know went into school to, and then changed her, what do you call it?
Major.
Major three or four times before they graduate. Because they don't know. And the thing is, you can know who you are in Christ Jesus and your eternal purpose out there. And that's far more beneficial than what you can do here. And that can make you strong. Can't you gain strength from that, knowing that? Man, think about this. If I, 25 years, I've been in this message, okay, knowing this. And if I know that 25 years before that, you know, what a difference that would have made or could have had made. Because some of us are something like, hey, I'm saved, praise God, hallelujah. You know, I don't have to do nothing. I'm still saved as I was when, as you are if you're doing stuff. You know, but to understand Paul's message about what he's doing in the body of Christ and how we're positioned in those principalities, that should benefit us like, hey, that's where I want to be up there. You know, I'm still a member of the Christ. I'm still a member of the body in particular. But I want to be in positions up there. That's not the boast in anything. That's what God is going to give us. So there, that is where our strength is today. Our strength comes from the position that we have in Christ and the purpose that God has for us in ages to come. I'm going to read 2 Timothy 1:9 says, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. He put a purpose in the body of Christ, and we put in that body of Christ, he's got a purpose for us before the world began. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in what God has made you in Christ, and the power is mine. Now, we've learned some things about what the doctrine of the cross accomplishes, don't we? And where did you first hear the accomplishments through the cross? What book did you find that in? I mean, that's the book, but what book in the Bible did you find? Where?
Romans.
Romans is where you find out about the truth about the cross and how he died. Now, where do you learn about the glory and the purpose that which he has for the church, the body of Christ?
Ephesians,
very good. Somebody's paying attention up here. She didn't look at my notes, by the way. But look, do you know, so he's saying, look, guys, you have the whole ball of wax right now. And you have the foundation laid, and you have a superstructure, and the edifice is already built. You already got the foundations in Romans. And the edifice of who you are now eternally in body of Christ is in the book of Ephesians. So what are you expecting? What are you and I expecting today that God had already promised us in eternal places?
No.
You know? What's that? That's our blessed of hope, is it not? I mean, come take me away, Lord. But you have in Ephesians, you have the Roman truths all laid down for you. And you have an Ephesians truth in your mind and in your understanding. It's not the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in your understanding. I'm telling you guys, you know people that's trying to live that today. And how are they doing? You know, sometimes you look at them like, gosh almighty, they got far more than what I've got. They must be something, right? And you're like, but God's not a respecter of persons. You know? And you're like, I remember growing up, guys, my cousins my age had boats and had cars. And I had a bicycle. And I'm like, how are they doing that and I'm not doing that? You know what I mean? And I'm working and they're working. And I'm like, how are they doing this? You know? And it messed me up in a way because you get caught up in that idea thing. You're going to do everything you can to get a boat. I've never had a boat. Probably never will.
Hopefully.
Need one. I don't need one, though. I don't even have a lake. Gotta have a lake. Gotta have a lake. But anyway, but the thing is, you know, but the thing is my mind and understanding. You see what God is doing to going to do with you and with us, and focus is out there, not here. And you have all this, and he says, this is where the strength is. This is where the strength is. And your strength is the realm of understanding and knowledge and information about what God has accomplished and is going to do for you and I. Isn't that awesome? You know, we don't have to speculate what God is doing for us. But then again, we grasp at some things. Some of us still got religious baggage on us, and you're not where I'm at, and I'm not where you're at. Okay? I'm not dragging you up here to say, hey, you got to be in line with me. Nope. You know, the thing is, the Bible gives you understanding and knowledge and wisdom of what God has done for you today, and he expects you and I to be in that position. And it may solve a lot of answers to a lot of questions that we have, but then again, it may bring more questions up. But Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21. He says, he has seated Christ far above, you don't look that, you don't have to turn there, but I'm just sharing that, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in which the world come. God is demonstrating his grace here, but he's also demonstrating the power of his might. A lot of people looking for power, ain't they? The Holy Spirit zap you, you know, power, and knock you back. That's not what he's talking about here. You do know there's people above you, don't you? Mm-hmm. Angelic beings, saved and unsaved. You knew, though, that Satan's is a principal power of this air, don't you? Mm-hmm. You know he's got power. and he can show you things and make your mind believe things and all this stuff. He can do it. Just same as God can do it. And you know who else can do it?
We can.
That's right. You and I can think of things. I heard a voice. You know what I mean? Did God tell me that? Listen, I'm working through some things right now, and it seems like a lot of... You ever had a joyous time in your life where it seems like things are just falling together? Right in place. Whoa, got an answer here. Whoa, Beaver, got an answer here. It's just like, do you thank God for that?
You should.
Thank God in all things, all right? I'll give you, for instance, you know, we're moving, and I'm going to have to get in a sleeper truck, something I haven't had in a couple years, you know. And I'm kind of looking forward to that because of the room, you know, and I can put my TV back in there, and, you know, and if I need to take a nap, I've got a bed to lay down in. I'm thinking about that, but also I'm thinking, wait a minute, I'm going to have to get in an old truck when they got these new tractors, trucks coming in, right? Brand new ones, you know, state of the art. And I'm like, how do I get in one of those? Because I'm, you know, I'm number one driver there. I'm seniority there. I should have first choice. A lot of accounts will abide by that. So I told my boss, I said, yeah, and I left alone. I get a call from him, and he said, hey, Ed, I got a couple options for you. I got two trucks. One of them's got 20,000 miles, brand new. Ain't been hurt. Well, I'll tell you, it has been hurt, been wrecked twice. Two different people's wrecked that truck. And I'm thinking, uh-oh, you know, am I superstitious? And or is it just that their driving habits was bad? Or I can get in an older truck, which will be a newer truck, with they, you know, rotate them out November, December. Well, I'm thinking, here's my chance to get a new truck, right? So he told me these things. Without me harping on like a kid, daddy, 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 I want that, daddy, daddy. So I'm thinking, these things are falling in line. Do I give God the glory to that? You know, even though with seed was planted? Or not say, yeah, I can give God the glory in all things. My thing is, okay, do I take the old one and wait for a brand new one? Or I take the new one and it's been cosmetic? See, that's another question. It's just like, okay. Because the next guys are going to get a newer truck than me. And if you know me, I love technology and I want new. And I'm like, I've got to beat that down. So who am I giving the glory to there?
Yourself.
That's it. You know, but anyway, let's move on. The thing is, God's demonstrating his power. And he's going to accomplish this purpose up there. And he's going to demonstrate in ages to come, according to the passage, how he's demonstrating right now. So, getting back to the truck deal, do I demonstrate who I am and go ahead and take that truck, okay, and make it the best truck and make it the best, and if somebody else comes in and gets a newer truck under me, do I go, well, I want that truck? Oh, you know, or you just say, no, I'm going to be who I am with the company, I'm going to be who I am in Christ and move on and make that the best ability I can. But anyway,
Truck did you take?
I haven't taken it yet. Yeah, so that's next week.
Are you sure they're going to get a new one? Bird in the hand's worth two in the bush sometimes.
Right, well, if I get a truck outside of a new, yeah, here we go. Outside of a new truck, we're switching out all the old trucks. So within the next year, everybody's going to get a new sleeper truck. It's according, my thing is, do I rest in who I am and the fact that just take what is available, or do I change some things going around and say, okay, you getting a new truck, you're next in line, why don't you take this truck and then I'll take yours until that time comes. You know, all that stuff. But anyway.
You should let your boss make that decision.
Yeah.
What's it?
I don't know.
It's something that room
back okay,
there.
All right. Man. Talking about technology. But anyway, let's move on. I know what you're saying. Just go ahead and get what I am and be happy about it, right?
Well, I'm saying if you know a new one's coming, just wait. Get the new one. That's what you want.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that's true. I mean, yeah. But I think I already planted the seed to my boss to tell the other boss over there, say, hey, it's 99% chance we're going to take that truck. But then again, he could give it to another guy. But anyway, guess what? That's the... Anyway, not only in this world. So then that is, it is in the world, but in where? It's in this age. In this age, it is right now and also in ages to come. But what tremendous responsibility is that you and I have to represent the Lord Jesus Christ adequately and properly? And what responsibility we have to manifest all his attributes in who we are right now. That is what Ephesians chapter 4 and 6 we've been talking about here. And you and I know in a function to live right now, how is God manifesting himself right now?
Through
the Word, but how is he manifesting himself right now? Through the body of Christ. You know, in the flesh. That's how he does. And we live and properly function, and the body of truth is in us. And we have an impact in the heavenly places, guys. And you and I right now are living on the details of our life as members of the body of Christ. You are members in particular of the body of Christ. And each one of us has got a different function. Each one of us is different at different maturity levels, right? And all. And as a husband, as a wife, as a father, as a child, as an employee, and whatever you are, you have an impact in heavenly places right now through Jesus Christ our Savior. Whatever position we're in, we're still going to have an impact. And Ephesians chapter 3 verse 9 says, you know what it says? What does yours say?
I don't think you want me to read mine.
Let's make all men see.
There you go. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Yours probably don't say that.
What was it again? Chapter what?
Chapter 3, verse 9.
And to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery, which for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things.
Okay. See how different that is? To make all men see what the fellowship of the mystery is? Verse 10, to say the intent that now until principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. In other words, the angels, if you will, the principalities and powers and heavenlies up there are looking down on the body of Christ right now. And they see you and I functioning as members of the body of Christ and as that bodily truth work in us. You ever thought about that? You ever thought about the angelic host is looking down? They've never experienced, and since Apostle Paul, the age of grace. They was at a beck and call to come down at any time to store things, wasn't they? But now they're like, grace. They don't know what grace is. So God is demonstrating grace through the body of Christ. How's that working sometimes? You know, have you ever thought about somebody else looking at, not just God? I know God, I know you see me every day. We try to hide, do things. Like, you know, you can't hide from God. And the angelic being the same way. And as you see you and I function in the body of truth, it instructs them about God's ultimate intention and purpose. He'll say, I just think sometimes the angels that's watching, the angelic being host is watching and they're like, yeah, what's Ed doing? You know, he should be, you know, brought to his knees and, you know, spanked and, you know, and
I'll
threatened.
Do it if they'll just tell me. Yeah.
And as they see it start to work in me and work through me, they're like, that's what grace is about. He's making that decision based on who he is in Christ Jesus. And they're like, oh, I want some of that. You know, I want to be like that. Who in, on this earth wants to be told and with a ruler over them everything they do? Everything you do something, you got to have somebody pushing you and, you know, dangling a carrot in front of you and all that. Nobody wants that. They are instructed and they see the manifold wisdom of God and according to eternal purpose which he purposed in who? Christ Jesus our Lord, verse 11, and that are gaining instruction about God's eternal purpose and glory, and they're watching us. Didn't Paul say something, I think in the Romans, that we're made a spectacle? Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm thinking the universe, he's looking over the rim of the universe, and the angelic beings, hey, listen, there's saved ones and lost ones up there. Up there. You realize, don't you? Okay. Well, when God created the angelic host and it was completed, and Satan took one third of the angelic beings and convinced them to follow them, there's a void up there, but they're still up there. Now, some of them, it says, the Bible says they lost their first estate, and they must have been bad ones. Because they're down in the dungeons. Yeah, darkness and forever and abyss. But they're still up there. Now, you might think you live with some of them. Some of your kids might be part of their ancestry. I don't know. Mine part of Adam, which is part of me. But hopefully, you know, that. But I'm just saying, they're up there. There's still powers and principalities up there. And who controls that? Satan does. But them angelic, the ones that are stays are still there. Now, whether it's true or not, I'm just trying to find out some scripture verses on that. But it makes sense to me that when you look at the earth and you look up to the North Star, and under the North Star, it seems like there's a void. A black void. And a lot of people say, that's darkness. That's leading you into another, you know, dimension and all that stuff. And then there's lights out there. What did he create lights for? The stars? Stars are angelic beings. You know that, don't you? They're not just planets. They're showing a glory up there. Yeah. Supposed to be up there.
They're what again?
Angelic
beings. Okay?
Stars.
Whether you believe it or not, you believe Genesis chapter 2 and all that before you believe me. All the host was completed and it brought lights. But anyway, I'm getting off the subject a little bit. But there's a void right there. Is it possible that's the ones that's fallen? Is it possible that that's
could
the
could be possible the ones that are in chains of darkness?
Yeah, and when he takes us up there and puts us in those authorities and ranks and authorities that Satan owns right now, isn't it possible we're going to shine? Don't we get the glory of God shining on us? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just wow, way out there. But the way the angelic creation out there sees us, it's not just you and I standing here on a stump somewhere and preaching to them. How's that working out? You can't even preach to the person beside of you. You can't even teach the person below you. And you're going to teach those angelic beings something about the grace of God? I don't think so. That's what a sounding board is, by the way. A sounding board was put over a preacher so he can't do that. It's this way. But anyway, that's my message in May, sounding bars. But they see that they operate in the flesh and blood as members of the body of Christ. That's what they're looking at you right now. They're seeing the body of Christ, and they see what, as it, we make all men see, and we make other humans beings see it. That's our purpose while we're on this Christ, to make all men see what is fellowship of the mystery. And you are not out there preaching to them like, okay, let's have a Bible study tonight. Come on, angels. Come on. They don't do that. You know who angels were in the Bible, right?
Messengers.
But who were they? What was the form they taken on when they showed up here?
Men.
Thank you. Always male. Never a female. But Zechariah chapter 5 shows you what a winged woman is. And he calls it wickedness. But wickedness. And the life of Jesus Christ made manifest in our mortal bodies. So when we make all men see what is fellowship of the mystery, the purpose of making others see the fellowship of the mystery is the fellowship we have in Christ, with Christ, and the oneness we have with Him, so the angelic creation can be instructed in that. And they see the wisdom of God on display as they see the body of truth work in us. You know, when we do things that God tells us to do through the body of Christ and through His instructions given us through Apostle Paul, that can only strengthen them. You know, sometimes we worry about who we work with and the impression that we're having with them, and at the same time, you're having an impact out there. You remember when we studied Romans, we studied the book of Galatians too. And the first 8 chapters of Romans, we studied the whole book of Galatians. So when people has issues with Galatians about, oh, they look like they had powers and manifest, you got to study the first book of Romans. Then when we studied Romans chapter 12 through 16, we studied the issues that was laid down in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. Now the book of, I'm gonna move forward just a little bit. Now the book of Philippians and the book of Colossians are the same way to the book of Ephesians. You know what commentary books are? So you had Romans, and the commentary to the book of Romans is Galatians and Corinthians. Then you got Ephesians, and the commentary books are Philippians and Colossians. Okay? And if you want to see how Philippians, Colossians fit in this, go to Philippians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. Philippians. Maybe I should have made that coffee back there. Yeah. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. But ye therefore, followers of God, as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also loved us, and have given himself for us. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Christ Jesus, unto the glory and the praise of God. Paul says, I'm praying for you. You know, a lot of people gets caught up in prayer and how to pray and what to pray for, but Paul says, I'm praying for you. Mm-hmm. And the Philippians, you think they're mature saints? Yeah. Yeah, very much so. And even though Philippians is a book of reproof, their mind wasn't right. Okay? Their behavior. And so he's correcting them, but it's not like he was correcting Corinthians. Corinthians was in bad shape. You know that? They was doing things, well, we always talk about that, doing things that was not mentioned to the good Gentiles. If you want to know how Paul prayed for the saints who have reached perfection, maturity, here's is what he prayed. I pray that your love, your agape love, may abound yet more and more in knowledge. That's that mental attitude of love. And in all what? Judgment. Judgment in that verse, guys, is the idea of discernment. The ability to know what God values and esteems. If you know what God values and esteems, would that make a difference how you judge things? You know, you and I know how we value things. And judge, you know, all that type of things. But look, he says, I want you to just keep on growing your knowledge of God and what God is doing. I want you to grow. And he's feeding the Philippians. Philippians saved. They did things, you know, looked like they was a model church. And you get a season. When you do that, you get seasoned wisdom. You know, a lot of us was growing up, and we saw that gray-haired old man, a great uncle and stuff, and you're like, man, you're getting old. But what does the world say? He's got wisdom. You know, that's a wise old man over there. You better listen to him. You know, that type of thing. Well, we can get wisdom from God through his word, right? And he says, I want you to have abounding love, and I want you to just grow and keep growing with your ability to know and perceive God's values and esteems in your judgments and your ability to discern things. This is important, guys, because when you can make that decision and esteem things and value things, what God does, he says, here's why, that you may approve things that are what? excellent. That's the first reason. You've got to prove things that are excellent. Now, many of us might not be at that point, and I'm far from it myself, but I want to prove things are excellent, so guess what? Things that I was holding on to, superstitious things that the Bible taught, you know, whether it's healing, prayer, whatever, you know, whatever case may be, that, you know, I feel like God wants me to value and esteem, is different from what you may esteem, but still we got to prove what is excellent. And how you're going to be sincere. Well, second reason, that you may be sincere and without what? Offense till the day of Christ. How are you going to be sincere and without offense?
Knowing the word.
You know the word. What's verse? You would do it by what? Verse 11. What's verse 11 say? Being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are in Christ, by Christ Jesus, unto the glory and the praise of God. We can have head knowledge, right? Well, I know what the Bible says, but are you being filled with the fruits of righteousness by which Jesus Christ unto the glory and his praise of God? He is saying, I just want you to be abounding, fruitful, growing, productive life. I want you to have that abounding love. That's different. Yeah, it's Christ. Christ in you. And you're in him. Yeah, well, a lot of times we know we're in him. Yeah, he saved me. He baptized me. He put me. But it's Christ in you. How you get that word in you, knowing the wisdom of God, knowing this, knowing that. So the rest of the book of Ephesians from this point on is a series of examples that Paul gives, one right after another, and it's about the binding agape love, what it looks like. You know, it's hard sometimes to define love, isn't it? How much do you love me? Your wife grabs your hand, you know, and you're like, I love you this much.
Let me count the ways.
Let me count your ways. I love you more than my pickup truck. Yeah, I love you more than bass fishing. You know, that's, you know what I mean? I love you more than anything. I married you, didn't I? You know, that type of thing. You know, how do you define love? So usually what Paul does in 1 Corinthians 13 and Philippians, he describes it, don't he? He describes it rather than defines it. You know, you can define it, but you can also describe it, can't you? And so he gives a long list in Corinthians 13 of description love, and that's what love does, and that's what love is, and that's what love does for you. But he gives several examples about abounding love. So in the book of Philippians, you have Paul saying to the Philippians, let the doctrine work out of you to gain the prize. My favorite verse is chapter 3, verse 14. Press towards the mark of the price of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm working for that prize. I want that award. I want that recognition in Christ Jesus. You know, if you do it in this world today, they look at you, proud, boasting, me, flesh, flesh, flesh. But in the spiritual aspects, you want that prize. I'm pressing towards that mark. And we all can. Let this doctrine that you know work through you and in you and out of you to get the prize. And if you want to know what it is to walk in love, you look at the book of Philippians and it gives you example after example. How do I walk in love? Sometimes I don't walk in love, but I know to walk in love. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes I don't want to walk that way. But I know that who I am in Christ, people expect me to walk that way. You know what I mean? Sometimes you're like, can I just be by myself? Can I just be myself? Well, you're no longer yourself, are you? If you think about it. And now in the book of Colossians, let's look at that right quick. Got a few more minutes. The book of Colossians is a companion, the sister epistles of the book of Ephesians. And the book of Ephesians focuses on the body of Christ, the body which is Christ is the head, and Ephesians focus on the body and how the body is formed and its focus of God's purpose for the body. Colossians focuses on the head of the body. And the issue in Colossians is not so much the body as it is the Christ, the head. Hey, can you do anything without a head? You can't. When you kill a snake, you don't cut his tail off and say, he's dead. You got to cut his head off. So this is another thing, example of the mystery truths that we need to proclaim today, as Christ is the head of a body. You cannot find that in times past. You with me? You ain't going to find nothing about Christ Jesus being the head of a body over there. He is a king of a nation. Now, if you want to, you know, get picky and say, well, isn't that still a body, a kingdom, a body? It's nothing like what Paul's describing, is it? And so chapter 2, verses 18, 19. The problem at Colossae is found in chapter 2, verse 18, 19. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility of, and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which have not what? Seen. Now what does that tell you? I was driving down the road and a bunch of angels came and sat down beside of me and have not what?
Seen.
I'm telling you, it can step on some toes. Vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind and not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together increased with the increase of what? You see what they were not doing? Holding the what? The head of Christ. They was puffed up in their own mind, seeing things that not been seen, imagining things. I don't know if they had pepperoni pizza back then or not. But you know, there's some foods, you ever eat some foods that makes you up all night. I mean, I've seen some things, eating pizza and onions, which I usually don't eat onions, but still, I'm just saying. You know, like, whoa, what did I see? And I described to you sometimes before about the microwaves from these things that I went to sleep with an iPad on this side and a cell phone on this side and my iMac across the way there, and every one of them was working with each other all night long, and I kept waking up and I'm, you know, seeing things. So what was that doing? Affecting my mind, wasn't it? So my mind wasn't working right. And you see here, they're not holding the head, and they were puffed up with their fleshly mind. They had the body. Paul was correcting their thinking here. And they're going on with human viewpoint rather than holding the head and letting him do the thinking and following his instructions and his leadership and a purpose and plan. Listen, there's probably not one of us sitting here today that's not had that issue or having that issue. We're not holding Jesus Christ. Let him do his thinking for us. We have his word. He's not going to change that word, guys. And he's not going to change who he is. And we just got to get our mind lined up with his mind. We can put the mind of Christ on right now and think the same way Jesus Christ thinks, what he told Paul to do. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, we don't have to speculate. Well, I think God's doing, I think. I want him to do, I want, that's not lining up with what he's doing here, guys. And they're puffed up. And they went out under human viewpoint and were beguiled and got under a religious system and all that stuff. And their problem is that they were not being subject to the headship of Christ. Remember we talked about authority? Remember Paul showed us who the authority was? God the Father, Christ, church, man, woman, all that type of stuff. There's authority structure there. And the whole issue is headship is authority. And it is to be the ruler, and there's one that has jurisdiction and rule and responsibility over others. Who rules over you today? The TV set? Governments? What's your answer?
Christ.
Your husband, your wife, what's the answer? Christ rules over you. And the desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of God's will, verse 9, what was the verse 9 go? Colossians 1:9. For this cause we also, since the day we have heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His, that's God's will, and all wisdom and what? Understanding. The idea in this verse is that you get the big picture, guys. We talk about that. Look behind me. There's a timeline back here. That's the big picture. You have to get the big picture. And the will of God is not where does He want you tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Do you know where you're going to be at tomorrow at 4 o'clock? Not really. But the will of God is to know what your God is doing today. And once you know what He's doing today, you'll know where you're going to be at 4 o'clock tomorrow. I've got an idea where I'm going to be. I'm going to be right there at the house. Cleaning up the yard a little bit. But I still know what God's doing today. And that better than that, you'll know what He's going to do regardless where you're at, isn't it? What's your purpose on this earth? Oh, woe is me. God's not doing nothing for me. If I had legs, if I had arms, if I had eyes, if I had ears, what would God do for me today? What could I do for God? You know, years and years and years ago, I thought about our eyes sometimes go dim, don't they? As you get older and you get pop bottle lenses and, the lenses magnify and you get a Bible this big to read. And you're like, what's wrong with learning some Braille? And people are like, you ever thought about, I never have, but I think about it time and time. If you could read Braille, you could sit up right here and go like this, couldn't you? And the Bible says this, and start reading like you never let. And if I went blind, you would never know the difference other than walking in here with a dog or a cane or something. But the thing is, regardless who you are, you will know who you are and what God is doing with your life. And in order for them to know the will of God, be filled with all wisdom and understanding, he focused on twofold headship of Christ. Colossians 1:18 says that he is the head of the what? Body. And Colossians 2:10 says he is the head of all principalities and powers. You're talking about a big head. And Colossians 1 and 2 are doctrine, guys. And Colossians 3 and 4 are practice. And Colossians 1 and 2 chapters 1 and 2 of Colossians, he focused on the headship of Christ. He is the head of the body, verse 18. Why? Verse 18 says that in all things, in all the position, the rank, and authority of the government in the universe, he has preeminence. Yes. If Christ is going to be the head of principality and powers, he has to have an instrumental, an agency, which he assumes the headship of. Now, can he just be a head of whatever he want to be without a body? He's got to have a body. Mm-hmm. You and I got to have a body. He can't function without it. And that agency in the body of Christ is what's the issue in chapter 1. And we studied Colossians chapter 1, 15 through 20 in great length when we were back in Ephesians chapter 1. That's what's taken us 86 lessons to get through. Somebody might have ran through it in 6 weeks. It takes some time. Listen, I tell you guys all the time, we got between now and the rapture. Mm-hmm. We can take our time, just relax and enjoy and let this stuff get inside of us and be who we are. And next week we'll pick up right here where we're at, next lesson, and continue in the book of Ephesians.